My assignment today is to stir your hearts to believe for God to do a miracle in your life. It's my assignment today. So I want to turn your attention. If you got your Bibles, I want you to grab your Bibles and go with me over to Isaiah. And stay standing for the honor of, we love to stand here when we read the word, just in honor of God's word. Amen. Ready to worship again. Let's go. I see you, Zach, on the keys. Nice. Sounding good. Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 7. This is a season of miracles, and I am going to hone in this whole month on this, on Emmanuel, God with us. I want to just ring that out. Emmanuel, I mean, that's the name of one of the names of Jesus, but it means, in case you're new and you love folks that are coming and that are brand new and don't have a lot of background with the church, I love that. My wife loves that, and we talk about that often in our stories where we came from, and it's just great. But if you did not know, Emmanuel means God with us. This is the first verse that name is mentioned, and it comes in a promise. Everybody say promise. You might not be familiar with the text, and that's why I'm going to bring it out today. Preach for a little bit, stir your faith, and then we're going to pray. Our altar workers are ready to pray with you today. Some of you need to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. I don't assume everybody in the building knows Jesus. But I'm telling you, today's a great day to say yes to Him and surrender your life to Him. Others of you are needing just to step it up in your faith every week. I pray that happens. We preach those kind of sermons here to get you, challenge you to get more serious with God. We're going to look at this guy who wasn't serious with God and he missed out. Some of you, you believe in everything, but you need to come a little deeper in the things of God. Because God is with us. God wants to be with us. And others of you need a miracle of God. You need God to turn something around in your marriage, your finances, in your health, in your body. It's a miracle. We're going to talk about that today. Chapter 7, verse 10. Moreover, the Lord, this is Isaiah the prophet talking. He spoke again. Everybody say again. He spoke again to Ahaz. Ahaz is a king. And he said to him, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord. Ask either here in the depth of the sea or high above. How many would love that? Just ask, hey, you need a sign from God? That's what he's saying. He says, if you need a sign, ask of God. Verse 12, but Ahaz said, no, I'm not going to ask. I'm not going to test the Lord. I'm not going to ask. Well, Isaiah is upset because he's not testing the Lord when he asks you to ask for a sign. So verse 13, he says, okay, then hear now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary God? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. And here's this famous scripture. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Curds and honey he shall eat. He may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Everybody say, choose the good. I mean, no, it's a choice. There's no winners or losers. There's only choosers. You choose to believe, you choose not to believe. As for me and my house, I'm going to believe in Jesus. I think I'm at the right church. You guys are quiet at 11 a.m. How many are choosing to believe in Jesus today? Amen. But I want you to see, it's not a feeling. It's not some emotional experience. You choose. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. But he says to Jesus, he will choose good. For the child shall know to refuse evil and choose good. The land that you dread will be forsaken by both her kings. And we'll just stop there because it gets bad. It gets dark because he rejected God and he brings judgment on himself. I want to talk today and hone in on the power of a promise when it comes to Emmanuel, God being with us. How many know that's a promise? So I want to talk about the power of a promise. Thank you for your word today. I pray, God, that you would stir our hearts today to believe. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Help me to communicate this, Lord, today. Help me to preach it. Help me to teach it. Help us to receive it today. And we are expecting for change and turnaround by the end of this service, and we will leave out of here saying it was good to come to the house of God today. In Jesus' name, amen. Give a couple people a high five or a handshake. Somebody hand me my tea. Before you're seated, amen. Amen. The power of a promise. The promise. This book is filled with promises, isn't it? We have promises. We live by promise. Everything's a promise. You notice that? Eternal life. We're going to go to heaven. How do you know that? It's based on a promise. Everything in here is promises. The vision of our church is to be a church that Christ wants, and that is a church of His presence, His promises, and for all people. Promises. And I'm talking about the power of a promise. What is the power of a promise? What makes a promise powerful? And what is the power of a promise? I'm going to give it to you right now, my one and only point. If you're taking notes, which you get a bigger mansion in heaven if you do, you want to write this down. This is so true. The real power of a promise isn't in the words, but it's in the faith and the action that it stirs. I want you to think about that. Let that settle in. It's not the words itself. Anybody can read Emmanuel, God with us. It's one thing to read it. It's another thing to experience it. Three of you got it. It's one thing to read it. It's another thing to experience it. And God doesn't want us to just read things in the Bible and go, oh, that's a pretty scripture. He wants us to experience, taste and see that the Lord, He is good. Don't just hear, taste and see. Taste is an experience. See is a perspective. I want you to taste so it'll change your perspective that the Lord, He is good. Don't just hear that He's good. You need to know that He is good. So the power that comes in a promise is believing in that promise. And when you and I believe the promise, when it stirs your faith, what does the promise do? It energizes you. It fuels you. It helps you push through. The doctor says, this medicine, I promise, is going to make you better. You could be feeling terrible. But if you believe that, it will energize you and help you push through that season. Let that medicine kick in. Come on, somebody. Amen. You know, it's a promise. I worked for a company, and I first got in there, I was at the bottom of seniority list. What does that mean? More work, less pay. So I had to take the crummy jobs that nobody wanted, and I remember two Christmases in a row, I got stuck on a route that was hard work, had to get up at 2:30 in the morning, and you made no money. Two Christmases in a row. And I was about to quit. Not really, but I was acting like it, and I remember... And my boss, honestly, they wanted to keep me, which is cool, which is good, always good. It's bad when they're like, okay, quit. Go ahead. That's not good. And I remember getting in from work on my route, and it'd be a note posted on my desk, on my area of where I did my closeouts, and it would say, just three more days, Eddie, hang in there. I promise. I mean, it was that bad. And he would tell me, listen, it's going to be tough until you start building seniority. But after, he said, I've been doing this job for 20 years and we've not had one person quit. I'm telling you, they don't quit because they enjoy their job. You just got to get through it. Tell the person next to you, you just got to get through it. So that's a promise. And when I got that promise, I ended up pushing through. But what happens, because we have promises all the time. We got people promise everything. People, parents promise things with kids. I pinky promise, whatever, you know, we promise. Friends promise one another. Bosses do promise and don't deliver. Politicians promise. Thank God they never lie. Wedding vows, promises. We see promises, we make promises. Unfortunately, we break promises. Promises are broken all the time. And what happens when a promise is broken? Two things. One, you're disappointed, obviously. But what happens that is more damaging is when you experience broken promises, it actually damages your faith to believe for more promises. It causes you to start not believing anybody anymore, and you end up start becoming a critic, a cynic, when you're not even able to see good anymore. It starts to wear you down. And I do believe this is a spiritual matter, because the Bible talks about the devil, and he says that one of the names of the devil is the accuser of the brethren. And so one of the things that the devil does, and I hope you believe in the devil because he believes in you, and he's not a little red dude in a suit with a pitchfork. He is the source of evil in our world today. He is the source of doubt and unbelief, and he's got one mission: to get you to not believe in Jesus, to get you to not believe in God. He don't want you to believe that God is good. And so every time you have something that goes wrong in this life, whether someone promised it or not, he's the voice that comes and says, see, if God loved you, he would have answered your prayer. He's the one that says, if God loves you, he wouldn't allow that to happen to you. If you really had a loving God up there, if your prayers really were being answered, well, then why did this happen? That's exactly what he does. He accuses God to you, and he accuses one another to you. He's the accuser of the brethren, which damages our faith and causes us to not believe these great, precious promises. Like earlier when I said how many loved you, it sounded like four of you did out of 400. That should not be, because we've got a society of distrust in our culture today, and it's trickled into the church. Please don't let it get into us. We have got to stir that faith today, because it will get on you. We're surrounded by negativity. We're surrounded by all this stuff all the time, and it starts to weigh on our faith. And so you start believing it. You start reading these scriptures, and you start saying, I just don't have the faith to do it. In our text, that's exactly what happened to King Ahaz. It starts off, and I had you read, it said, moreover, the Lord spoke again to Ahaz. Everybody say again. What I love about that is you'll read the story, and you'll see that God was always, he was trying desperately to get a hold of Ahaz. Now, Ahaz was a religious person. He was not a God-fearing person. There's a difference. He's a religious person. He would attend churches all the time. He would worship at this temple. He would worship at that temple. He even worshiped at Molech, which they would sacrifice their children in the fire to worship that evil demonic god. He would do that. He worshiped at all these other gods, but he was not surrendered fully to any of them. And so none of those gods ever answered his prayer. Even God wouldn't answer his prayer because he wasn't fully believing in Jesus. He didn't take it seriously. But God did not give up on him. That's the good news, and that's what I love about it. How many know, even though you blow it, and you might have been like Ahaz, but God still is not going to give up on you? That's good news. He won't give up. He came to Ahaz, even after doing that with his children. I mean, that's wicked. He came to him again, and he says, Ahaz, just ask for a sign. Ask for anything in the deep sea or in the sky above. Just ask for a sign that God is with you. Just ask, because God wants to be with you. And Ahaz says this. He says, nah. And he says it like this. I'm not going to weary God with my prayers. You ever hear somebody say that? Well, I'm not going to weary God with my prayers. That's why I don't pray. I don't want to log him down. I mean, I don't want to. Because he's been let down so many times that that actually got a hold of his faith. And now when he's really needing it and God's really trying to connect with him, he's so damaged in his faith that he can't even believe and ask for a sign. It's devastating. It's a devastating story. I mean, he says to him, if you would just ask of me, I would give you this sign. And then you would end up being a great king. Mothers would be naming their children Emmanuel. God is with us. I mean, the whole kingdom would be experiencing my goodness. But he listened to that voice, and that voice tries to take us out of the will of God. Hear me today. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to put lies in your head. Some people don't love you, or that person don't love you. God, he tries to get you out of his will, because that's his only thing. He's the only one that can do it. To get you out of your will is you, by listening to those things. And so he did that with Ahaz. Ahaz said, I don't want to weary God with my problems. He rejected God. He went ahead and went into battle and ended up getting Israel taken into captivity into Babylon. And he is never heard from again. End of story. But the promise still remains that God wants to be with his people. Let me tell you today, Ahaz didn't believe it, but I want to remind you that God is a promise keeper. I said, God is a promise keeper. Come on, if you believe God is a promise keeper, if he's answered some prayers today, he is a promise keeper. Let me persuade you to do that. Isaiah was trying. Ahaz said, no. I pray nobody walks out of here today like Ahaz. But we walk out of here saying, I do believe that God is going to use me. God's going to do what he said he was going to do. God has always wanted to dwell with his people. When it comes to Emmanuel, God with us, that's one of the first promises that God ever made in Scripture. And I want to remind you of when he said it. It happened right when Adam and Eve sinned and broke that fellowship, because God was with Adam and Eve. They were with one another. They fellowshipped. Their life was together. It was beautiful in Genesis 1, 2, and 3. It only took 3 chapters, and then we messed it all up. You know the story, Eve fell for the lie of the devil. Here he come. If God really loved you, why would he say not eat of this? If he's holding back from you. He put that lie, and she fell for it. She took of the fruit. She gave it to Adam. They both fell. They sinned. Sin entered into the world, broke that fellowship between God and man. But I want you to see that when God brought the first promise to be with his people, it came at that very moment that Adam and Eve sinned. It didn't wait till hundreds of years later. No, it was at that moment, because this is a loving God that we have. And you got to see this. You got to see how God is a loving and caring God. Look at Genesis 3. This is right when it happened. 3:15, God said, he's talking to the serpent. He's bringing judgment to Adam, Eve, and the serpent. And he says, I will put enmity, that's hostility, between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. Her seed, if in the King James, if you read it, it's capital S, her seed, that's Jesus. For he shall bruise your head and you shall strike his heel. I want you to see this, that Eve was the one, yeah, she was the first one that took the fruit, and God chose her to be the very one to bring in the cure for the sin of the world. God always redeems. He didn't say, oh, since you messed it up, woman, we're going to only use the man. I want you to see this, men. You got to see this. He wants both of us. Yes, absolutely. But it was the woman that he said, I'm going to use you. I think because she felt so terrible. Could you imagine if you were Eve? You literally ate the family out of a house and home. Okay, only joke I'm going to say today. You would not be feeling good about yourself. And more than that, you got to remember they had a relationship with God. It wasn't like us. It wasn't by faith. They talked with God. They walked with God. And when they messed up, the Bible says they hid themselves. They knew what they did was wrong. Why? Shame always pushes us away from God. But like I said, God don't give up on us. He come looking for them. Where are you? He knew where they were. He wanted them to see where they were. And he said, I want you to know, I'm going to make up my first promise to you. He looked at her and he said, it's going to be you, sweetheart. It's going to be through you. You think you messed up? Somebody needs to hear this today before I move on. You think you messed up. You think you are the one that caused all kinds of problems and you just went a little bit too far. But I'm here to tell you that God will start with you to make a message and a miracle out of your mess that you done made. If you will have the faith today to believe it. Now, so your seed, Jesus, is going to crush the head of Satan, but he's going to strike. In other words, there's going to be this battle of good and evil for quite some time, which we are in right now. And then he went on from there throughout the whole Bible. He began to make these promises and remind us that God was always wanting to dwell with his people. If you want to summarize the whole Bible, it's actually the story of God desperately wanting to dwell with his people. You can summarize the whole Bible like that. It's the whole story that goes from cover to cover of God wanting to be, desperately wanting to dwell with his people. He says in Deuteronomy, here's just one more of them. I will raise up for you, this is Moses, he's talking to Moses. I'll raise up for them a prophet like you from among them. And I will put my words in his mouth and he shall speak to them that I command him. The enemy has, and he goes on and say that. So he's talking to Moses and he says, Moses, I am going to raise up a prophet. Here's another a promise that he wants to dwell with us. And he's gonna be like you, he's gonna be from among your people. And ever since then, God has tried to raise up a prophet. And as soon as he would raise up a prophet, here come the devil would try tearing him down. And it's just this whole cat and mouse thing through the whole Old Testament. You know this. God would raise up a righteous king, and then they would fall into some sin, and then God would raise up and then an evil king. It was this righteous king, evil king, righteous king, evil king. God would raise somebody up, then they would fall. This goes on the whole Old Testament. Then we get 400 years of silence. And then Jesus says, I love when the Old Testament is now opened up. God says what? He says, I'm not going to send nobody no more. I'm coming down there myself. And John opens up and says what? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh, and the Word dwelt among us. And for as many as him who believed in him, who received him, to them he gave the right and the power and the authority to become children of God. Why? What am I saying? God's a promise keeper. The prophecy he made in Genesis was fulfilled when Jesus came. That was the promise. I've been telling you from Genesis that I was going to bring, and that's why the enemy has fought that throughout the Bible, the times, and throughout history. God keeps his promises. Psalms 145:13 says this, the Lord is trustworthy in all he promises. Come on, somebody. And faithful in all he does. Some of y'all need to lock and load that. I'm going to show you next week, every time God gives you if he gives you $1 million promise, he's going to give you $1 million problem. And we love $1 million promises, but we want a $10 problem. You're going to hear that next week. But God always will give you a promise, a big promise, and it always comes with a big problem because he wants to see that faith, because it requires faith. Faith is the currency of heaven. Never forget that. It is the currency of heaven. You go to Walmart, you're going to go shop on Amazon for your loved one. You can't just say, can you give me that bracelet because I really love my wife and it's been 20 years. They're going to say, show me the money. Right? Money is the currency that buys everything. In the kingdom of God, it's not how loud you preach or how good you can sing or how faithful and regular you are. Those are all important. What matters is, inside of all of that has to be faith. Raw, hardcore, God said it, I believe it kind of faith. And that's why the enemy attacks our faith. That's what he's after. He's not after your kids and your car and got a flat tire. The devil's really after me. No, it's cold out and tire pressure's low. The devil can use things like that to put thoughts in your mind that says if God really loved you, he wouldn't let your tire go flat. I mean, he'll do stuff like that. He'll use any opportunity, but he's not after your car or your kids. He's after, hear me today, your faith. This thing is everything. You're talking about miracles. You're talking about receiving from God. It's that faith. What is the Bible? You've been coming on Wednesdays. We were talking about how the enemy attacks us with the darts. The Bible says that the enemy will attack us with fiery darts. And I told you on Wednesdays how it's a fiery dart. It's not a javelin. It's not a big thought. It's a dart. Darts are little. It's a little flame. It's a little flicker. It's a little thought that gets in there. That God don't love you, God don't appreciate you, or whatever it is. It starts little. And if you don't get to the fire, what happens? Fire grows and fire spreads. What does the Bible say? What extinguishes those darts? Your shield of faith. Not feeling. It's a faith. It's you choosing. I know that prayer didn't get answered. I know I wouldn't be here. I didn't think I would be here in this season of my life. And I know I feel like God's 100 miles away. But I choose to lift up my shield of faith. And if God said it, I believe it. He'll never leave me or forsake me. He's got a plan for my life. And it's going to happen. That scripture we read in Isaiah about Emmanuel, God with us, 700 years before Jesus came. Jesus fulfills his promises. It's just not always in the time frame we want. And let me just tell you, it's hell in the waiting room. Come on, somebody. But you're in good company because everybody in scriptures waited for the promise of God. Abraham waited 20. Isaac waited 20. Jacob waited 13. David waited 17 for the throne and was anointed on day one, but 17 years before he sat into the promise, into the throne. Jesus waited 33 years before he began his miracle. You ever think about that? When he was in his father's house building tables and chairs, there were leprosy people that had leprosy out front of his door. There were sick, blind people right out front of his door. He didn't heal a one of them. Why? It wasn't the time yet. And some of y'all just need to know this. You got to wait. You got the right prayer. You got the right address. It's Jehovah God. You just don't have the right time yet. And so the enemy will start to throw those darts at you. He'll start to hit you like Ahaz. Like, oh, God's the same as those other gods. Nothing's going to work. He's not going to answer your prayer. But I'm here today to stir up your faith, to lift up that shield of faith and say, I'm going to believe what God said he's going to do. Now, you got to lift it up. Tell your neighbor, lift it up. The Bible says for you to suit up with the whole armor of God. He don't do it. He don't get you dressed. You're past that age, you're a grown man. Some of y'all getting dressed, you sit on the bed and your wife dresses you. That should not be, amen. Well, my wife sometimes, and I'll come out, she's like, no. What you talking about? This was fire back in the 90s, baby. This was sweet. No. Sit down, Eddie, let me dress you. You okay, Wyatt? So what is the faith that we need in Pastor Eddie that gets miracles? I'm glad you asked me that, because we have Ahaz tells us what not to do, because the Bible does have people in there that shows us what not to do. The Bible also tells us how to do it. We have a whole chapter dedicated to this. It's called the Hall of Faith. Now, if you grew up in the church world, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's Hebrews 11. The world has a secular in sports. There's a Hall of Fame. It's in Canton. And Detroit Lions are there. Green Bay on the second row. God help me today. I told Dan, you gonna wear that hoodie while I'm preaching? Let the anointing fall all around him today, Jesus. Taking on you, man. Canton in Ohio is the Hall of Fame. Barry Sanders, great Detroit Lions, a lot of great, we know that. Listen, in the scriptures, Hebrews chapter 11 is a list, hear me today, of ordinary people. Everybody say ordinary people. Ordinary. Today it would be like truck drivers. Well, their day was fishermen, shepherds, blue-collar folks. And white-collar folks in there, in that list, but they're ordinary people. But they did extraordinary things, which makes up the Bible. God loves them just like he loves you. They are just as regular, everyday people like you and I are. And they're listed, but yet they had one thing that changed everything. They had this thing that I'm preaching on today called faith. The kind of faith. And if you read the chapter, you have all kinds of folks in there. Noah built an ark and saved his whole family. That this kind of faith can cause a mom or a dad to make a decision like my dad did back in 1977 when he said to God, if you're real, I'll serve you. How about that kind of faith? But he had some kind of faith in there because what? God heard him. Watch this. And then changed the trajectory of the entire Markham family because of one man. He did it by faith. You have Joshua who marched around the walls by faith. Samson, faith. You have David by faith. You have all these great heroes of what faith is. But I think in our English language and in our culture today, we have a little bit of Ahaz kind of faith than the scripture kind of faith. If God don't answer our prayer, we're quick to go to another temple. If God don't answer my prayer the way I want it, just like this, you know what? Then it must not be real. We start diving into this. We start getting into maybe some horoscopes, or maybe get into some of this, start manifesting stuff like this. And you try getting all these other things, what are little nuances, actually from Scripture, if you follow them, they all are a little bit taken out of context to form a whole new thing over here that's called God. Why? Because nobody likes waiting. This is what happened to the children of Israel. They got tired of waiting for Moses to come down from the mountain. So what did they say? They said, let's make our own God out of a golden calf. And they've created this golden calf all because they got tired of waiting. And they started bowing down to it and worshiping to it. And we've done the same thing in our culture today. I'm here to tell you, it's got to get thrown out. We got to get back to that raw faith. What is it? Hebrews 10 tells us this right before he sets up these great people. And this is what I want to tell you. This is the kind of faith you need to get a miracle. How many need miracles in your life? You need God to turn a situation around. This is how you get it right here. He says, do not cast away your confidence. Everybody say confidence. Notice he didn't say believe. Don't cast away your belief. I'm going to show you something. He says confidence, which has great reward. Here's the second thing. For you have great need of what? Endurance, so that after you have what? Done the will of God. Oh, so there's something that has to be done. Then you will receive the promise. Thank you, Pastor Eddie, for showing me that scripture right there. There's three things. I'm not going to break them down, but I'll just give you one of them. Underline all three: confidence, endurance, and doing the will of God. That's obedience. These three are the main ingredients to what we call faith. Anything other than that is a belief, a religious thing that we do. It's not faith, mountain moving faith. The scripture's telling me right before he goes into Hebrews 11, the hall of faith, it's like you're buying a ticket at Canton. And he says, before you go in, I got to tell you something very important. I want you to stay to the left, and I want you to, he'll give you instructions when you enter into an unfamiliar museum or an event. Hebrews 10:35, it says, before you go reading what Joshua did, and you start marching around your coffee table thinking God's going to do something, you need to understand what this brother had. Before you start being like a Ruth and a Naomi, looking for your Boaz and a Naomi, you need to understand what kind of faith Ruth had. Before you start yelling for God to do this, you need to understand, like David did, and taking down a giant. Ooh, I'm hyped. That giant's coming down in Jesus' name. You better read what kind of faith David had. That's what he's saying. And this kind of faith has, number one, confidence. That is lost. Confidence. We're like, whoa. I mean, let me ask you this. Do you believe God answers your prayers? Or are you confident that he will answer your prayer? You don't have to raise your hand, because depending on what day I'm at, if I'll be real with you, how many would say, amen, preach, Eddie, preach now. See, my point is this, there's a difference. And in your English version of the Bible, it translates when Jesus said the word believe into belief. But it's the Greek word pisteo. When Jesus spoke, he didn't speak English. How many know that Jesus did not speak English? Hey, Marty. That's Australian, I think, ain't it? Pray for me today. I'm almost done. He used the word pisteo, which means to commit, to trust, like you're trusting in a parachute. And you have so many broken promises. And my message today is we've had so many broken promises in our lives today and in our history. It's damaged our ability to believe. I'm challenging you today to focus in on the Word of God and break away from all these other things that are robbing you and attacking your faith, and dive into just Scripture and keep your eyes just on Jesus and let him build that faith back up again. So you go from, I think God will do this, to I know he will do this. When David, so let me just tell you, they all go together, okay? So confidence and endurance and obedience, they all are like a wheel and a cycle, and they feed off one another. So you don't automatically have confidence in something you don't know. But if you will have endurance, your confidence will grow. Everybody in the scriptures was like that. One brother told Jesus, Jesus said, do you believe? He said, I believe, but help my unbelief. So Jesus didn't rebuke him and say, get out of here, devil. He was like, no, you know what? You need some prayer and fasting. What's he saying? He went to endurance. Your problem is, see, some of us, we come to church for 3 weeks and we think God's going to just turn the world upside down. Oh, I done gave in that offering. I tithe, pastor, and my finances didn't turn around. So how long would you tithe then? 2 weeks. Oh, my heavens. You know, I said no to this sin, man, but I just keep falling back. How long did you put those standards in place? 3 days. And you need, what did he say? You need endurance. When I first got saved, I didn't think I could live this Christian life, man. I did not. I did not think I could do it. I said, God, I'm tired of living it, but I'm gonna live for you. And I made that first step, but as I got into the Word of God and began to follow Jesus, I began to see God answer my prayers. I began to read the scripture, my faith, I began to cut that other stuff out, and my faith began to grow. But it took time. You know, one of my greatest testimonies now is the endurance, is what I got from enduring. I told y'all real quick, I had jury duty, and thank God it's over. I've been relieved. I've been delivered. Amen. So I can talk about the case. The only thing I'll say is during the jury selection, I did not want to be there. So I even wore my police chaplain hoodie. I'm telling you, I did not want to be there. I had the big badge. One of my jurors later, he said, man, when I saw you walk in, I said, this dude does not want to be here. Because I'm thinking, if they know I'm affiliated with police at all, they're not going to want me on a jury. It's coming up to Thanksgiving. And I'm down with the mean beans, greens, beans. I mean, I'm ready to throw down. I'm not going to be no jury listening to that. It was a heavy case. So I get in there. And my name got called. End of the day. Devil is a lie. And I had to sit down, and you got to answer those questions in front of all these people. And at the new place, it's huge. It's a huge building. If you've ever been to the new correction center down there, it's not at the Murphy no more. These courtrooms are massive. You got like 150 people in here. We're all packed in there. And they call me up, and I got to sit in that seat, and you got to answer these questions. Have you ever been accused of a crime? Not charged, accused. And then, have you have any friends that were victims of a crime, a violent crime, like homicide, because this was a homicide? I'm like, are you seriously going to ask me that? So she did. The judge would ask all, and I was all the way there. And there was one other guy that was like me. He was a firefighter. He had a pass just like I did. I was like, let's go, brother. They let him go home after they heard his story. So I was like, yeah, they're going to really let me go home. They get to me, have you ever been accused of a crime? I said, well, Honor, yes, I have. And then she would not stop. She was like, when? I would tell her, when again? What'd you do? What's the court? And another person was probably looking my record up. So I'm like, okay, we're going to go for it, brother, in front of all these people. Well, 1990, and I'm telling all of them, man, just boom, 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 in and out of the legal system. I'm like, yeah, I'm getting out of here. You got any friends that were, I said, yeah, I got a friend that was shot and killed, 2008. Best friend of mine. I mean, horror stories. I'm thinking for sure. And then she says this. Okay, because she said, what do you do now? And I said, well, I'm a pastor and a police chaplain. I'm still trying to get out of this. She said, oh, well, when's the last time you were arrested? And I said, 28 years ago. And that place went, you could just hear the sigh. And the judge said, oh, so Reverend, I see you done turned your life around and you done helping people. She said, praise God. I said, no, no. And it changed the whole courtroom. They called another guy. His name was Malachi. I kid you not. The judge said, Malachi, isn't that in the Bible, Reverend? I said, I'm stuck. I text Melinda, I'm stuck. Here's the point. What got her, if I would have said 2 weeks ago, she probably would have let me go home. But when I said 28 years, let me tell you something. Some of y'all want that kind of testimony. You want Hebrews 11 kind of faith. It doesn't get there overnight. Jesus says it's a seed of a mustard seed, smallest of all seeds, but don't sleep on the fact that he says it's a seed. Seed takes time. First of all, seeds got to get buried in the dirt. Some of us don't want to get dirty. We don't want to get down in the dirt. We want to stay on the top and think we're going to plant and grow into this massive tree. He says you got to bury yourself. You got to get yourself down into that dirt. You got to bear. You got to get rid of all that. Let me go deep. Put some water on there. Put some sun in it. It takes time. And then that faith begins to grow. That's endurance and then doing the will of God. That's the kind of faith that it takes for you and I to receive these miracles. Believe. You don't just kind of believe. Let me just say, tell you something. I didn't have that kind of faith, like I said, at first that God was with me. I started to believe it. And every day I started waking up saying, I believe God's with me today. God's with me today. And what happened? He began to show up throughout the day. And now I don't have to pray, God be with me. I know he is with me. Instead, I catch myself praying this, God, help me know. Help me to know you are with me. Help me to be better aware that you are with me. I quit saying it in my prayer, God be with me today. I quit saying it because I know God's with me. But it took time to get there. Just like it took time for David when he went after the giant. He said what? Just like you was with me, God, with the lion and the bear. So I know you will be with me when I face this giant. Some of y'all is trying to run to a giant and you ain't take care of the lion or the bear. And you want God to knock a giant down. And he's like, what you talking about? You want God to give you this business. And like I was preaching last week, he wants you to do these great things and you can't show up for work now on time. And you want this and you want that and you can't read your Bible for 3 days. You want me to open up heavens. But when it's time to worship, you sit there and you watch the show like you're at a John Bon Jovi concert. Lift those hands, the Bible says, if you are holy hands to God. It's not me, it's God. But here's where I got to the point where when I really believe that God is who he says he is, my hands will go up automatically. So our problem isn't laziness. It is not that our problem stems back to this thing called faith. If you really believe that God is the eternal God of heaven that created everything that you see, that's given you life in your body, then your faith and you will worship the God of heaven. It will be automatic. Come on, give him a praise break in this place today if you believe that. I want to say, don't cast away your confidence in God. If God said it, he's going to do it. Let me say that. Let me just drive this home. God said it, he's going to do it. How I overcame drugs and alcohol, I said it. I heard in the Bible, my next scripture was, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things become new. My dad began to break that verse down. I began to hear it. It seemed like everywhere I went, people was preaching and talking about it. That one in Romans 12, renew in your mind. What was God doing? He was trying to renew my stinking thinking. Because if you got an old mindset, it's like having flat tires on your car. You're not going to go far. And God was renewing my mind, and he was telling me I was a new creation, and I began to believe that, and then I began to live that out. In 6 days, turn into 6 weeks to 6 months, and you and I begin, that's how you see the miracles of God. Come on, let's stand to our feet today. I want to get into prayer time. Just wanted to stir your faith today, this morning with this. Define what faith is. The power of a promise. And here's the promise, Emmanuel, God is with you. And some of you are struggling to believe that he's with you. Well, I'm telling you, God is a promise keeper. And you start believing him today. You keep believing him. And you watch that faith grow. I had so many other scriptures to show you how Abraham did not. I'll throw that one up there while you're standing. Oh, we got time. Put that one about Abraham in there. Set next one down. Faith is a confidence. Yeah, there's the definition of faith. The faith is the confidence. And there's where I was saying the word gets twisted in English. In the original Greek, it means confidence. That's what God wants to have. Go on to Abraham, the next one. Abraham did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. Watch this. He was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced. Wow. That he was able to do what he had promised. Look at his wife, Sarah. His wife had the same thing. By faith, Sarah herself received strength. Come on. You feel weak and tired in your faith? You can receive strength in your faith. But watch what she did. To conceive and bore a child, even though she was past the age, even though the doctor said it's impossible, even though statistics said you're impossible, anything good's ever going to come out of E-course, or you're never, your family's had these divorces and you're going to be just like them, or you've had this, all the statistics are against you. They were all against Sarah. But look what she did. Even though the statistics said it, because she judged him as faithful who had promised. Look at that. Look at that. That's that kind of faith. So whatever you're believing God for, you got to do that very thing, is believe him today. Is it that easy? Well, believing is simple, but it's not easy. And that's where endurance comes. That's where consistently comes, consistently. But it starts with making that choice that I'm going to choose to believe in Jesus. I'm going to choose to believe he is the promise keeper. I don't care how many broken promises you've had in your life. God is not that way. If God said it, I believe it. That's how you got to be. Are you with me? Are you with me? Okay, we're going to do this. I'm going to ask my altar team to come on up. And these are spirit-filled people. We've been talking about this. They're ready. They're going to pray. We're ready to pray for some miracles.
Well, amen and amen. I pray that message was a blessing to you, that you received some sort of encouragement or word of instruction from the Lord. That's our prayer at River of Life, that every time you tune in, that God speaks directly to your heart. Well, this is Pastor Eddie again. Just want to say thank you for listening to our podcast and remind you that every Tuesday, a new message is uploaded. Also, if you want to watch one of our services, head over to our YouTube channel. It's River of Life Church, a church of His presence, His promises, and all people. And you can watch one of our services that way as well. So God bless you. I pray God's presence be with you for the rest of the week. Amen.